This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you.
I just want to see if it still works.
Seems like it does.
Hadn't used it in a while.
Seems like it does. We're just rocking and rolling this morning. And by the way, did indeed... make it through one full hour of the show doing the show standing up. Did indeed make it through one full hour. So I'm giving myself.
How are your quads?
Not VKM levels yet, but like, okay. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling okay. The burn.
Hamstrings good?
Yep.
I'm not asking about your glutes.
Glutes are good. Glutes are tight. Glutes are stacked.
Good to know. You don't need to rub them.
I just had to check. For those of you that are not watching on our stream, which you should, facebook.com/thefanupstate, thefanupstate on YouTube. Now, ladies and gentlemen, back on Twitter, twitter.com/thefanupstate, x.com/thefanupstate, whichever one you want to go with, or The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. I have decided, because old Robbie B put a couple of the LBs back on since the wedding back in September, got to my high school low of 215 for the wedding. Got back up to about 225, 227, and I was like, nah, can't do this, all right? Went the wrong direction. I don't need to get down to, like, playing weight because I ain't doing much playing anymore. I don't need to get there. But, like, I don't want to get back to where I was either. So I said, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to do the show. The stream, the early listeners on the stream, set me at an over-under of like, 30 minutes before I decided to sit back down. I've made it an hour. I'm going all four. You people made me feel bad about myself, and I'm fixing it right now, all right? I believe in me.
Don't you call in tomorrow.
I'm doing the show from home tomorrow, guys. So I can sit on my couch the whole time. I believe in two things. Joe Hendry and me. That's the list. I also believe it is time for the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this morning and start talking sports with your coworkers. When you do, you're going to get there, you're going to sit down, you're going to log in, you're going to respond to all those passive-aggressive emails that got sent going, hey, I know it's a government holiday and you're off today, but like, why aren't you working? And you're going to go, because I didn't want to. And then you're going to get up, you're going to walk down the hallway, you're going to go to the break room, you're going to go find Frank from Accounts Receivable. Good guy, Frank. We all like Frank. I don't know how he does that job. It's boring AF. But we like Frank, and we like to talk sports with Frank. You got to know what's going on in the world of sports, and if you do, ladies and gentlemen, you need this. Why did I go?
By the way, Frank makes those noises when he sees you when you roll in. That's how you know that it's going to be a good day.
The finger guns have made their way back into the pop culture. I don't know when. I don't know why. I'm glad they did. I'm a big guy. How you doing? If you can pull off the double finger gun wink combo, oh, it's untouchable. How you doing? Bring it back to Joey. It's a Friends reference because I'm old. Item number one. We're going to be talking about this at length today. Joe Lunardi was on College Game Day. That's the basketball edition this weekend. They were over in Tuscaloosa, Alabama for a matchup between, as we all knew, two basketball powerhouses, Auburn and Alabama. The Iron Bowl of basketball. That was not good, but I tried my best. Anyway, Lunardi was on College Game Day.
What were you trying to do?
I was going to make him rhyme. Iron Bowl of basketball.
I thought it had to do with the accent, which I...
It did not.
Okay, all right.
Roll Tide, War Eagle. Anyway, Lunardi joined College Game Day, and the conversation got kind of interesting about the NCAA men's and women's college basketball tournament. Okay, so that was obviously a gym full of Alabama fans booing the move from 68 to potentially as many as 76 teams in the NCAA tournament. Last night, I guest hosted BetMGM Tonight because I'm the only one who said yes to working on a holiday. And we got into this conversation a little bit, Jake Hassan, the Persian love machine, and myself. We were talking about this, and Jake asked, you know, do you think this is a good move or a bad move? And do you think it's going to happen? And here was the response I gave to him. Zoe, I want your thoughts. For the fans, I don't think it's good. And the reason why is I think 68 is about as many teams as we can have before the short attention span of the American sports watching public starts to go, hey, that's too many. I'll check in like round two or round three. When we get this tournament down a little bit, we're here for the big dogs. We're here for the occasional Cinderella story. We're here for some upsets, whatever. But I think there gets to a point where you've watered down the tournament so far. But as far as will it happen at all? It's real simple. Will it make more money? If the answer is yes, it'll make more money, then they're going to do it. Because at the end of the day, and I don't know anybody who doesn't understand this, at the end of the day, the only thing that makes a decision happen or not happen is, will the people in charge make more money? And the answer is, I don't know. If the general public, if us as a whole, if they move to 76, if we are still tuned into round one, then they're going to do it. If they move to 76 and they see a drop-off in viewership and therefore a loss of dollars in the overall advertising cost of being involved with this tournament, then they won't do it. And they're going to study and they're going to focus group this and they're going to do all that. If it makes more money, they'll do it. If it doesn't make more money, they won't. So the big question is, will we stay as intently tuned in if we add more teams? The answer is I don't know, because I think there comes a point where you go, this is too much. It's the complaint we have about NBA games. There's too many games. It's the complaint we have about MLB's regular season. 162 games, I can't stay locked in that long. If you add more teams, I think they're I don't know what the watered down point is, great one, but I feel like 76 is closer to it than 68 is.
I don't think this has anything to do with TV revenue. This has to do with betting revenue, and more games means more betting. More betting means more money. And I think this sport, especially that particular tournament, is driven more by that than anything.
Oh, for sure. I will say this. If
I mean, how many office pools do you have going on, legally or illegally?
1,000.
Not to mention, you know, people who probably don't normally bet heading up to North Carolina or doing whatever they can to make some bets on this particular thing. This is about betting money more than viewership.
I'm not going to fight back on that. Now, in fairness, part of that is going to be, does DraftKings and Underdog and Prize Picks and all these, specifically the daily fantasy that's allowed in all 50, but the Caesars, the BetMGM, all of these big books, do they go, hey, if you add more teams, if you add more games, therefore you add more opportunities to bet, we will make up some advertising money, right? BetMGM goes from, oh, we're going to give you $5 million to be a sponsor. We'll give you $10 million to be a sponsor. They get four or five of those. It doesn't matter what Rob Brown or the great one Lonzo or Zach or Kane or anybody in the chat, doesn't matter how anybody feels about it. What matters is they add money to the bottom line, they're going to make the move. Let's get to item number two. Speaking of college basketball, your brand new AP Top 25 poll hath dropped, and the Auburn Tigers, for the sixth week in a row, remain the number one team. This time, even fewer questions about Jahni Broome and Bruce Pearl's squad. Why? Because they went to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and they knocked off Mark Sears, Nate Oates, and the Crimson Tide on their own floor. Here is the interesting thing. They are not the consensus number one team in the country. They got 59 of the 60 first place votes. The other went to the Florida Gators. Why? Because the Gators just a handful of days ago went to Opelika, Alabama and knocked off that number one Auburn team. Now, you'll remember that Auburn kept the number one spot despite the loss to Florida. Bad loss, too. 90-81 was the final in that one. Florida has since then knocked off number 22 Mississippi State on the road in an 81-68 beatdown and then took down the Gamecocks of South Carolina 88-67 to give themselves a little flourish on the result. So Florida moves up to number two. They do have one of the 60 first place votes. The other 59 all belong to number one Auburn. Auburn is 23-2. Florida is 22-3. Florida just 5 total points ahead of number 3, Duke. They're about 50 points ahead of number 4, Alabama. The University of Houston wraps up your top 5. Out of the SEC, Tennessee and Texas A&M are numbers 6 and 7. Iowa State got a couple of big ranked wins. They jump back into the top 8 at number 8. St. John's is at number 10. Sparty and the Spartans, Tom Izzo setting a record. We're going to talk about that later in the show. Moves up to number 14. Kentucky is 17. One spot and just 19 points ahead of number 18, Clemson. The Tigers under Brad Brunell, obviously with that big win over Duke, got some national attention. They have now not just cracked the top 25, but are now inside the top 20 at number 18, one spot ahead of number 19, Arizona. Maryland, Mississippi State, Memphis, Kansas, Ole Miss, and Louisville round out your top 25. Let's get to item number 3. Buddy, if you're not watching this Four Nations face-off that the NHL is allowing to happen right now, you're missing out. It's electric. It is pure, buddy. It is pure electricity, pure gasoline this tournament is. It has been a blast. Welp, going into yesterday's final round-robin game against Sweden, the United States was playing with a limited roster. Still went out there, still busted it up, but played with the limited roster because of some injury concerns. They had already punched their ticket to the finals, to the gold medal game, championship game, whatever we're talking about, of the Four Nations face-off. Canada, with a 5-3 win yesterday over Finland, has punched the ticket for a rematch with Team USA. So, the USA had a couple of guys set down yesterday. Matthew Tkachuk, Austin Matthews, Charlie McAvoy all sat out against Sweden due to injury precautions. All three are expected to, though not guaranteed, to play in Thursday night's championship game. However, they were joined on the bench by the other Tkachuk brother because of a potential injury. Matthew Tkachuk took a seat. Brady Tkachuk was hurt in the first period, did not return due to a lower body injury. The Senators forward lost his skate while driving to the Sweden net in the first period, rammed into the pipe with 7:37 minutes played in that game, went to the bench in discomfort, eventually left for the trainer's room, did return to the ice, played a 14-second shift later in the period, but did not come back out with the team for the second period. USA Hockey announced that he would not return in that game. Will he be available on Thursday night? I do not know yet. We will see. I am hoping everybody's available because if you did not watch the 3-1 victory over Team Canada over the weekend, I don't know how to tell you what you missed. We had 3 fights in 9 seconds. The puck hit the ice. Tkachuk brother number one. They strapped on the headband around the helmet, went Mighty Ducks Bash Brothers early in this contest. 3 seconds into the game, the puck hits the ice, and then 4 gloves do as a Canuck and a Yank decided to throw some fisticuffs. That one went well. That got the crowd into it. That got the people absolutely riled up. Then what happened? We line them back up. We try it again. Puck hits the ice. Bang. Four more gloves. We're going round number two. Ding, ding. Ring the bell. Then what happened? We go, hey, that's good. That's an organic, electric start to this game. Let's line them up. 5-on-5. Let's do it again. Puck hits the ice. Bang. Fight number three. We had three fights in 9 seconds. You want to make people tune into your sport? Make the athletes care about it, NBA. Make the athletes care about it. The boys from the NHL, no all-star game. So we allowed the Americans to put on the Stars and Stripes, the Canadians to put on the Maple Leaf, the Swedes to put on whatever their thing is, because I thought it was going to be the cross flag, but it's not, and the Finns to wear the crowns or the lions or whatever they wear. I don't know. Whatever. You guys are playing for second. It's U.S. versus Canada. Their round-robin game. Dude, I was in the tunnel at the Swamp Rabbits game on Saturday night, and the people were buzzing about this game. Right, I went home and watched it on DVR. I was gassed up, and it happened 4 hours
ago.
You're
not mentioning how Canada booed the national anthem. You're not mentioning, did you see the before the game back in the locker room, the chant? I mean, there's some bad blood. There is.
Look, hockey's a different breed of sport. Like, hockey's one of those things that if you don't, I'm not saying you got to be a big hockey guy to understand that hockey's a different breed of cat. Here's the thing. This is one of those spots where our Venn diagram of sports and politics, they overlap a little bit. There's a mild strain on international relations between our neighbors to the north and the red, white, and blue. There's a little bit of a strain.
Affectionately known as 51, the neighbors to the north.
They disagree. Hence the booing of the national anthem. Here's the thing. I really like Canada. I haven't been to Canada. My brother, as he says, it's lovely. The lady friend and I are putting together a Canada trip right now. Either this year or next year, we'd like to get up to the Great White North and go visit our neighbors. Here's what I'll tell you. I love Canada. I respect Canada. No, they're not going to become a state.
Hey,
y'all stop.
If you wait a little while, you won't need a passport. You'll save some money.
I can go ahead and promise you Canada's not becoming a state or a territory or anything else. All right? Stop. Here's what I will say. I respect Canada. I like Canada. But when the puck hits the ice and we got 60 minutes of white hot ice hockey action, I want to beat that Maple Leaf ass every time. Play Freebird again, baby. It's electric Thursday night. Don't make plans, people. Team USA, Team Canada, Four Nations face-off title on the line, and it is the thing I am most excited about this week in sports. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. I have a controversial college basketball opinion that I did not know was going to be as controversial as I was. I put it on Twitter over the weekend. I took some flack. I said it last night on BetMGM Tonight when I was guest hosting. I took some flack. Your Naismith Player of the Year award goes to college basketball's most outstanding player. It is the Heisman of college shooty hoops. And for my money, it's Jahni Broome from Auburn, not Cooper Flagg from Duke. I said this last night, and I thought Jake Hassan was going to come through my computer screen like the girl from The Ring to choke me out about it. Cooper Flagg's very good at basketball. I'm not insinuating that he's not. Duke beat the hell out of Virginia. 80-62 was your final in a game that it wasn't that close, to be honest with you. And not only did they do that, but they did that in a game where they lost one of their best players, Marquise Brown, who was second on the team in steals. He has 30 of them on the season and third on the team with 9 block shots. The guy is a defensive wall. Dislocated shoulder, going to be out for some time. Good news for Duke is they got a break. They don't play again until Saturday when they take on the ILL Illinois Illini in Madison Square Garden. It is a main event. Ring the bell. Ding, ding, ding. So the good news is they got a couple of days to get Marquise Brown right if they can. Dislocated shoulder. I don't know what a dislocated shoulder feels like. I haven't experienced that one before. But I've dislocated an elbow, and it sucks a lot.
Dislocated a collarbone, so that's a little bit closer. Yeah,
that also, I broke a collarbone once, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it's unimaginably painful. It sucks a lot. So I don't know what a dislocated shoulder feels like, but I know if the facial reaction of Marquise Brown was anything, it sucks. Anyway, we'll see if he's back in the lineup for the Blue Devils on Saturday. Jahni Broome took the Auburn Tigers, led by Bruce Pearl, to take on Nate Oates, Alabama Crimson Tide, on the road down in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, on Saturday. Number one versus number two, the classic, iconic Auburn-Alabama basket brawl, just like we all knew it was inevitably going to be. SEC, that conference is so good. Here is a take that I don't think is controversial. I think the Southeastern Conference this year is having the greatest single year of any single sport in any conference's history. I think SEC basketball this year is the best that any one conference has been at any one sport in any one year. Put that to the side. Part of the reason why is the Auburn Tigers, number one in the country. 6 consecutive weeks they have held that spot. They were able to hold that spot despite losing at home to Florida. A handful of days ago, the Auburn Tigers are still in that one spot. Part of that reason is Jhenai Broome. This man went up against the tide and did so on a bum ankle. And yet, number one Auburn took down Alabama 94-85. And for the record, if you weren't paying attention, if you didn't watch this game, you missed out. I mean, it was good. Alabama did not have a bad day by any stretch of the imagination. Auburn just had a real good one. Jhenai Broome had 19 points, 14 boards, 6 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. He turned it over just twice, had 3 personal fouls. Really good win for the Auburn Tigers on the road at Alabama. It's a damn good Alabama team. They're 21-4. And in the best conference in college basketball, and I'm going to go one step further, in the best conference in the history of college basketball. The SEC this year is better than any year that the ACC was, even when Duke and Carolina and all these other good basketball teams were at their primes. This is the best college basketball conference of all time. And in my opinion, Jhenai Broome is the best college basketball player in it. I think he is the best college basketball player in college basketball this year. I do think he's better than Cooper Flagg. I think Cooper Flagg's a great player. I think there's going to be a lot of teams that are going into the NBA lottery really hoping they get number one. My New Orleans Pelicans are one of those teams. I hate my fandom right now. Put that to the side. Jhenai Broome showed you in this game on Saturday, and I think more so than Cooper Flagg, there's not a spot on the basketball court that he can't play. They opened the game, the Auburn Tigers did, on a 9-0 run with a pair of threes from Jhenai Broome. Why? Because you can sit Jhenai Broome at the top of the three. You can allow the big boys to go down low to draw defense in. And if they leave Jhenai Broome alone, he will knock down three after three. If you send somebody up top to defend Jhenai Broome, he becomes an incredible assist man. And the thing that I think I appreciate about Jhenai Broome the most is that Jhenai Broome, when he drives the paint, is probably the most versatile player. Cooper Flagg's a power guy. When Cooper Flagg puts his head down and he goes into the lane, you know what he's doing. He's bully balling his way to the rack. Jhenai Broome can do that. Jhenai Broome can also pull up and hit a fadeaway on you. Jhenai Broome can also spin in or out of the paint. Jhenai Broome can also throw assist like a point guard. This is not any sort of degradation to the game of Cooper Flagg. This is 100% to tell you that if you are not watching Jhenai Broome and the Auburn Tigers play basketball, you're missing out on top-notch college basketball. Bruce Pearl's got something special in this team. And Jhenai Broome is something special. Cooper Flagg is an incredible basketball player. No matter which one of these kids inevitably ends up being the next New Orleans Pelican who's going to show up, play 2 years of mediocre basketball, then leave my program and go on to become a superstar somewhere else because that's just my life as an NBA fan, I'll be happy to have him. Both of these kids can play anywhere. But Jhenai Broome, I think, is a more versatile player than Cooper Flagg. I think the only thing where I'd say Cooper Flagg might have a bit of an edge is Cooper Flagg as a defender can defend you out wide or underneath. Jhenai Broome's a good defender out wide, not as good as Cooper Flagg is. That guy flies to the basketball and he knows where to get his hands into a dribble to knock it away from you. But as far as an offensive player, I think Jhenai Broome is just a more versatile player. I think I think in the paint, outside of the paint, from three, no matter where he is, Jhenai Broome's a threat. There are some spots that I think Cooper Flagg's game is very good, but just not as polished as Jhenai Broome. If you're missing out on watching this kid play, you're missing out on top-notch college basketball right now. So when I'm watching Jhenai Broome play against Alabama for Auburn. Again, number two team on the country. You're on the road. Alabama fans right now recognize that there's a chance that their football team may not be the dynasty that it was. I don't think that's the case. I think this team is very rapidly going to make its return to being up there with the Georgias and the Ohio States. I just think you're going through a massive shift in terms of philosophy, in terms of execution between Kalen DeBoer and Nick Saban. That's another discussion for another segment. While their football team adapts to whatever their new identity is going to be, The Alabama fan base has latched on to basketball, which made that arena on Saturday absolutely, positively electrifying. And yet, Jani Broome went in there and put down 19 points on 7 of 16 from the floor, 2 of 4 from behind the arc, 3 of 9 from the stripe. That is one thing that... It was an off day. He's not a 3 of 9 from the stripe shooter. I do think there can be a little bit of room in, for improvement, especially considering how versatile he is in the paint. He can draw fouls, which means I need him knocking down free throws. 3 of 9 from the stripe from your superstar is the kind of number that loses you a game in March. That's how a number one overall seed, which Auburn will be, that's how they get upset in the tournament. They end up in a scrapper against a 7 seed or a 5 seed somewhere, and their superstar ends up with 19 points but misses 6 free throws and they lose by 2, right? That's got to get cleaned up. But my man also got you 14 rebounds, just for number's sake. Nobody else on the Auburn Tigers had more than 8. That was Miles Kelly. Nobody for Alabama had that many at all. You did have 2 in Grant Nelson and Cliff Amorori. You had 2 guys with a dozen for Alabama. Jani Broome, who is good with the offensive basketball anywhere on the floor, ended up with 14 boards, 6 assists, a steal, and a pair of blocks. I think he's the best player in college basketball. He's my Naismith pick this year, and he is the reason that the Auburn Tigers will be entering the March Madness tournament as the number one overall seed, coming out of the best conference in the history of college basketball. When we come back, there is more talk about a potential change to the NCAA football postseason tournament. We'll talk about that. We'll get into this report that the NCAA tournament may go to 76 teams moving forward, and who knows what other fun and shenanigans we get into as we carry on with the 4 most electrifying hours of sports talk entertainment anywhere, the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio, the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the radio broadcast. 844-326-3663. That is the number to call in and get on the air. That is the number to text the show if you want to get at us in that direction. 844-326-3663 is the number to call or to text the radio broadcast this morning. Joey texted the show. He said, but Rob, Zion is still in New Orleans. LOL. Yeah, I know. I'm painfully aware.
Is he still on the pitch count?
Yes and no. Like, he's not playing back-to-back. There was a whole thing the other day. I don't know if I ever got to this. There was a whole thing. In fact, I know I did. There was a whole thing, I guess about 2 weeks ago now, where Zion said with his whole chest that he's good and would love to play back-to-backs, but the Pelicans just won't let him. And he works for them, so he has to do what they say. And it was the most... And I may just be a sensitive sports fan. I am a sensitive guy. I'm a big softy, big teddy bear. But it came across as the most, like, I work for them, but I don't want to vibes I've heard from anybody in a very long time. It was very frustrating. We'll see. Now, Zion has played a handful of games since he came back from injury. Came back from injury again. And he's looked pretty good when he's full speed. But just like, he keeps missing games. I don't know. We'll see. Let's see. UNC Chris texts the show. Yes, he said, business opportunity. Rob writes the book of Guy. It's just a massive list of all the things that he says, I'm a big guy of. Yeah, like, I'm a big Four Nations face-off guy right now. Big Marvel Rivals guy.
Okay,
right
so
now. Big bourbon guy.
So are you going to elaborate in the book, or it's just you saying you're a
no, I think
Dolly
I could do
Parton
some
guy.
I could do some elaboration. The problem with being a big blank guy is that, like Dolly Parton, there's things I'm a lifelong big Dolly Parton guy. She put out a song, I didn't know this, I found it yesterday, and it's a bop. She put out a collab, the kids call it. She put out a duet with Sabrina Carpenter. Yo, I'm kind of in. If Dolly Parton thinks that Sabrina Carpenter can be the princess to the queen that is Dolly Parton, then consider me a big Sabrina Carpenter guy. By the way, she was on the SNL 50 show on Sunday. She's got good comedic timing.
She does.
Shockingly good.
And also duetting with Paul Simon. I mean, Paul Simon's pretty old.
Did you see their intro to that song?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Paul Simon said, I'm going to play this song. I performed this song on SNL in 1976 with George Harrison. He said, I performed this song in 1976 with George Harrison. And Sabrina Carpenter said, I wasn't alive yet. And neither were my parents. And I got to tell you, a bit of a gut punch. But the timing was phenomenal.
I was a little worried about at the end of that show because Paul Simon was wandering around. He's like 4 foot tall. I thought for sure someone's going to run him over. When the whole crowd, all the cast is gathered, no way everyone saw him.
What'd you think about SNL 50?
It wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't great. It wasn't horrible.
I thought it was fine.
I know there was a little bit of backlash on one certain thing, but that had been done before a couple times.
And it's one of my favorite skits of all time. Sorry, judge me. It's great.
So it wasn't surprising. Eddie Murphy was great, though.
Eddie Murphy as Tracy Morgan, Tracy Morgan showing up.
I'm now going to erase from where I had
it's
that.
Okay. It's worth talking about now.
Yeah. How hard is it to do an impersonation standing next to the guy? But if you're Eddie Murphy, I mean, it was good. I enjoyed the majority of it. After 11, it got pretty racy, but it always does on Saturdays.
It always does on Saturdays.
Scared straight stuff was a little...
I was dying.
And also the alien abduction thing. Always really raunchy. So.
Kate's hilarious, though. Kate's hilarious. She's so good. I thought it was good.
Woody Harrelson acting like a stoner was probably actually stoned when he did
probably.
It.
Probably.
So, yeah.
Very good. I'll tell you what I actually appreciated the most, because I appreciate them addressing it and doing it in a classic SNL skit. I appreciated Tom Hanks' tribute to all of the SNL skits that would get canceled now. And the fact that they actually showed them was phenomenal. Like, I thought that was so good to lean in and go, look, like... The show's evolved, comedy's evolved, here's where we were. Some of those were absolutely hilarious. And by the way, at a point in time where, with Dave Chappelle having himself a bit of a resurgence now, Shane Gillis, Tony Hinchcliffe, like, we have gotten to a point where I think comedy has kind of started to circle back around to, you know what, like, it's okay to make jokes about race and gender and all these different things, provided that they're actually funny and not a punching down on people. If you can do the comedy in a way that's not punching down, it can be great. And I thought the fact that they utilized their
Steve
old skits
Martin
to show
that. Have Martin Short deported through ICE back to Canada.
Phenomenal.
Pretty funny.
Yep.
And the thing that I learned most out of the entire show is that drunk uncle hooked up with the girl you meet at the party. And I never saw that coming.
I'm gonna tell y'all right now, Cecily Strong is the most slept on comedian that's ever done SNL. She's a genius.
And she can also sing.
I thought ScarJo and Paul Rudd doing a duet that straight up went after Blake Lively for all the drama she's in right now. I thought that was fantastic. I thought the show was well done. Was it as good as you'd hope? For like a milestone moment in SNL, no. I thought Adam Sandler's song paying tribute to cast members departed was a very nice touch.
Got Jack Nicholson out.
Yep.
I enjoyed that too, and the fact that he was crying at the end and everything.
Hey, shout out to Chris Farley. GOAT. Shout out to Chris Farley.
I think the one thing maybe I would have liked to have seen is a few of the older cast getting up there.
I would agree. I thought there was going to be more of that.
I don't know how I felt about Alec Baldwin, but I mean, I don't think anyone knew how they felt about him being out. It's like, why would they pick him to do? And Steve Martin that said that only two people they know murdered someone? And one of those was in the audience, and he was Alec Baldwin.
Bill Murray's shout out to Norm MacDonald on the Weekend Update was fantastic. He's like, you know, and then our pal Norm, he was ranking all of the SNL Weekend Update host anchors. And his shout out to Norm MacDonald, he's like, you know, he's the only guy that's made me ask the question of myself, did OJ do it? Like, what a bar. And shout out to Norm MacDonald. By the way,
who got fired for that?
He got fired, but he did. One of my favorite moments in SNL history was Norm Macdonald getting fired because NBC thought he wasn't funny enough. Because the OJ joke was like a running joke for Norm Macdonald. He worked an OJ joke into every Weekend Update. They eventually fired him for not being funny enough. And then the next season, they brought him back to host the show. And he got on the air in his opening monologue and was like, my question is, how did I get fired for not being funny? And 1 year later, I'm so funny that I can host the show. Like, he just straight out called him out for it. It was great. Norm Macdonald, absolute legend. I thought SNL 50 was very good. There were some moments, I agree with you. I'd have liked to seen a lot more of the old cast members get involved. When I say old, I mean the OG cast members get involved. I also was reminded, because that conversation was happening on Twitter while the show was airing, I was also reminded, though, that I am almost 40 and a lot of them are dead. So, you know, some of the OGs couldn't be there because they were, again, dead.
Well, them
that makes it tough to show
them
up.
Showing the skit, which I remembered when it aired, of John Belushi at the graveyard.
So good.
Yeah, except for it definitely was in reverse order. But,
oh, for sure. You know. You want to know why I'm still around? Because I'm a dancer. Oh, man. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, I thought it was good. I'll put it this way. I thought it was good enough that it's worth talking about during our most listened to segment. It was that. I think it's worth the watch. Even if you're one of these people that's like, oh, SNL's not the same. First off, it's always been political. All right? It's kind of like the people go, I don't want politics in my music. Yo, the best music in the world is driven by messaging of the real world,
well,
CCR.
One thing that they got into too much, it became too political for a while, and they've went away from that. And I'm starting to get back into it. I mean, when it was every skit, like you said, they've made fun of presidents since they've been around for 50 years. But there was a period there when that's all they did, and it's like, okay, there's other stuff you can do that's funny.
And
there's no developing of characters like we've seen through the years, because they're spending so much time on that.
I think the reality about this, and this is just me on the outside looking in. I think the reality of that is everybody thinks that SNL is too political when it's their politics are going after. Because when Biden got elected, you got a lot of Dana Carvey doing old man Biden. Like, a lot of it. And especially towards the election, you got a lot of Dana Carvey doing a lot of confused, lost, wandering around for no reason Joe Biden. And now, obviously, with Trump being in, and listen, you say what you want. Good president, bad president, I don't care what you say. The man's objectively hilarious. Like him or not, he's objectively a funny person. And They lean into that. That's part of the, when you have a president that has a personality, no matter what that personality is, that's where comedy lives. That's where comedy thrives. So, of course, it leans in on him because that was the thing about Joe Biden, was not a ton of personality to the guy, right? Like, there's some, but like a lot of his personality was, I'm old and I like ice cream. Right? Like, there's not a lot of room to thrive there.
Well, there's hair sniffing too, but I'm sure you don't want to get into that. That was just
weird. Oh, listen, they 100% they leaned in. This is why I've said, like, I the last election was the most controversial election in the history of the United States. And SNL has a slant. Big media does. That's just, well, comedy has a slant. That's just the reality. Comedy has a slant. So, of course, they did that. And I absolutely think, for the record, I think it is 100% fair if you looked at it when SNL just provided a platform for a candidate to come on and make a pitch last minute. And if that's what DQ'd SNL for you, I don't hold that against you. I really genuinely don't. Because I know had they done it the other way around, it would have been the exact same thing from the other half of the country. They provided a platform to a candidate to come on and make a last minute pitch, and I'm not okay with that. I got no problem with you walking away. But the reality is, Donald Trump has an enormous personality. Love him or hate him, he has an enormous personality, and those are the type of people that allow you, that allow satirical comedy to thrive. I think that's why SNL has latched the wagon so much. Anyway, I thought 50 was good. I thought Adam Sandler was good. I thought Bill Murray on Weekend Update was good. By the way, shout out to Colin Jost and Michael Che. They've made Weekend Update great again, to borrow a catchphrase from the aforementioned subject of this.
Yeah, Michael
discussion.
Che, number one on Bill Murray's list.
He was. It was great. It was great. him listing his ranking of top black host of Weekend Update. Number one, Michael Che, moving on. Like, phenomenal. I see, you can do those jokes without punching down, and they can be genuinely funny. I thought Bill Murray was.
Well, here's the thing. Michael Che probably wrote that.
Oh, so. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I will also say, and I mean this more than anything else, I think the best thing SNL's done in the past two or three decades is the Che Jost joke swaps.
Yeah, those are uncomfortable.
And some hilarious.
Very uncomfortable.
That's why they're so good. If you can live in that world where there's that discomfort, but clearly everybody's in on the joke and having a good time with it, we can heal as a country.
And how about Peyton Manning being there?
Oh, I actually didn't see Pepe.
You didn't see the Peyton
Manning?
No,
I did not
there?
See. What did Peyton do?
Well, he was in the, there was... Amy Poehler and
Tina Fey
were asking
Goats.
Questions, asking questions of the audience, just asking questions of celebrities. Sure. So you missed that segment?
I the only one that I saw was Ryan Reynolds, and they're like, "How are you, Ryan?" Yeah, yeah. And he's like, "What have you heard?"
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Blake. And by the way, if you didn't see it, Blake Lively. I don't think Blake Lively was in on the joke because her face dropped. She went from like, "Oh, that's my husband," to like, "Dude, what the hell did you just say?" Real fast.
Yeah, Peyton Manning was asking questions, and also there was. Some singing in the audience. Did you see that?
I did see that.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I thought the show was good.
Yeah, I sit there and watch the entire thing, which I wouldn't have been able to do if we hadn't had Monday off because it went
also fair
over 2.5 hours long.
That was after I texted Alonzo and I was like, "Wait a minute, it's 8 o'clock at night. I've done 2 hours of show prep. Are we off tomorrow?" Yeah, cool. Guess I'm watching SNL now. All right, when we come back here in just a minute, I was going to do it here, but we brought up SNL, and it was such a milestone, I felt it was worth addressing. We're a pop culture show. We're also a sports show, which is why when we come back, we're going to address this Ross Dellinger report that we may get changes to the college football playoffs a little more rapidly than we thought. I'll tell you what those changes are, potentially, coming down the pipe, according to Ross Dellinger. We'll give our thoughts on that and more, all of that. Comes after you get to experience what award-winning audio is with Lonzo Sports Flash.
Now I've got Are You Experienced by Jimi Hendrix in my head. That's a good tune to have in there because I'm old. The AP Top 25 basketball poll is out, and Auburn retains their top spot for the sixth consecutive week after a win on the road over number 2 Alabama. The Florida Gators have jumped to number 2, followed by a Duke. Alabama falls to number 4 with the loss to Auburn and Houston, rounding out the top 5. Tennessee and Texas A&M are 6 and 7. Clemson at 21 and 5 has jumped to number 18. As Team USA prepares for the Four Nations face-off championship game, injuries have started to stack up. The most recent is forward Brady Tkachuk, who joins forward Auston Matthews and defenseman Charlie McAvoy, both of whom sat in the final round robin game against Sweden as a precaution. Make sure you tune in tomorrow night at 7 p.m. as Furman Paladins take on the Samford Bulldogs. It's Furman versus Samford right here on The Fan.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.